You're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nukchess, and I've got a special episode for you that was recorded at Balticon 51 this year, 2017. And we are talking about women in the business. It was a really fun panel to be on, and it was, I think, the first of its kind at Balticon, or at least in recent years since I've been going. And we had a really great collection of women to talk about the different challenges. I thought it was very interesting, so I thought I would share it with all of you. So you get a little bit of the behind the scenes inner workings and some of the struggles and some things that you may not have realized goes on. And when we say in the business, there's a lot of actual day job stuff talked about here. And you'll notice I'm going to bleep some things out. Those are usually people's actual names or actual businesses, just to keep everything, you know, on the up and up, and so nobody can be accused of talking out of school. So you may be hearing bleeps that are not necessarily for swear words, but more for privacy's sake. But a lot of what we talk about also happens in the podcasting world, although a little bit less, but it does happen. And at one point, there is an interruption. I'm going to edit most of that out, but I do want you to be aware that there was an interruption that just kind of goes along with the whole idea of what we're talking about here. But I do want to thank Balticon, the organization, because they handled it really well. And Mike from security was on top of everything. He is fantastic. And just so you know, everybody is safe and fine and everything is well. But yeah, there is a bit of an interruption there. So I hope that you appreciate it. Next month is August. And every year for the past couple of years, I have been doing the dog days of podcasting. So I think I may continue with my whole dinner and a movie theme there. So you may get a lot of short episodes. I'm not so sure how much I'm going to stick to that theme. It all depends if I have 30 things that I want to talk about, but it's going to be 30 episodes, and I am aiming for them to be 5-minute episodes. So I'm not going to, you know, fill up your podcatcher app too much, but I hope that you enjoy it. I don't know. Some people tell me that they love it, and then some people go kind of silent in the month of August. So they could just be busy, or they could just really hate this project. So I apologize if this isn't what you're looking for. But don't worry, if you're a patron, you won't be charged more than twice next month. And speaking of the patrons, I want to thank everybody that has helped me come this far and work this far. You know, we've got 2 full episodes every month now. And that's thanks to the patrons. And I want to do more. You're listening to the audio quality. It's okay. The next thing I want to do is I want to upgrade my mobile recording. I want to get an H4, and I want to get some external mics, and I want to be able to get better recordings for you. So that's what I am working towards. And so hopefully we can improve this podcast. And I thank all of you, especially Jason Banks of the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast, Aaron Jackson, Beth, Rich the TT, Dagny, Mike, Ken Kennedy of Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, Lynette of the Bicast, Aurora Lee, go check her out on Patreon, Susan, Melissa Bartel, the Bathtub Mermaid, Susanna, Frank, Kinsey of Brazilianisms, Ian of the Web of Queer, I think is his current podcast. I'm doing all of this from memory, by the way. So if you have a podcast or a project and you want me to talk about it, you make sure you send me a message, okay? Harold, Jen of the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Patrick Scafito, the author, check out his work. Shane Poole of the Red Dwarf Introcast, and a bunch of other things, but I think that's the one that is currently going. So thank you so much, everybody. Oh, and sometimes Nick. And thank you, everybody who has helped out. You continue to make me really happy doing this podcast. Thank you so much. And now, women in the business.
Women in business. As you can tell, I am not one. I am John Walker. I'll be moderating this panel. I won't be saying much, but I will be guiding it, hopefully, to the best of my abilities. And if we could just go down the line, starting from that young lady down at the end. Introduce yourself. Tell us what you do, who you are, and what you got out.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Kathy McMillan, and I am by day an American Sign Language interpreter and librarian, and by night I am a fantasy author. My debut novel, Sword and Verse, came out last year from HarperCollins.
That's awesome.
Yes. Hi, I'm Nettie Nuchas. I am a graphic artist and fine artist by day, a podcaster by night, sometimes activist, and I work in multiple industries, including education and broadcasting, and have a lot of terrestrial radio experience.
Hi, I'm Lisa Ann Samuels, and I, day job, herding cats and kid, but also in the past, I have about 15, 20 years in the entertainment and online industries, and in the evening, I write and herd husband and kid.
My name's Veronica Jaguer. I am an audiobook narrator and author. That is my full-time job. However, I also have 15 years experience in higher education. My background is a mishmash of ocean engineering, mathematics education, and science education, with academic strategies, first-year student studies, and academic recovery. So I help people figure out how to learn best. I help people tell stories in all aspects.
And I'm John Walker. I'm the author of the Stafford Chronicles. I just put out book 9 a couple days ago. And I'm here at the behest of these young ladies to figure out just exactly what are some of the big questions. What are some of the challenges of being a woman in the business? Unfortunately, a predominantly male business. And we're also going to look at the obstacles, how to get around them. We're also going to hear, and I hate to say it, we're going to hear horror stories, because I know we could probably fill an entire convention just with the horror stories. So we'll start down the end, if you would, please. Let's start. Give us some challenge. We'll go down the line, and then we'll go on. Challenges, huh?
Well, I guess for me, it was going into the publishing end of things, it was kind of a surprise, because coming from a library background and an American Sign Language background, those are both places that are predominantly women. And as often happens in fields that are predominantly women, the higher-ups in those fields are predominantly men. I think the last survey I saw of the American Sign Language interpreting field was that it's 98% women. It's like crazy. So going into writing, it was a very interesting switch. And this was actually published as young adult. So in the young adult field, there's a really, really weird thing that happens in that many of the women who are writing, particularly young adult fantasy, many of the authors who are writing fantasy, particularly for the young adult age, but also everything in young adult is mainly women, but the men are the superstars. The authors who get all of the book tours and who are the lead titles are the good-looking 30-year-old men. All the publishers are looking for the next John Green. I'm not going to name the book because that would be churlish, but there's one book in particular that came out last year where the publisher was trying so hard to make it a bestseller, and it didn't work. But they sent this guy to everything. And that's really disheartening as a woman to see that there are so many really talented writers out there, and to see that the publishers are putting all their effort behind this handful of men who, okay, maybe they're really great, but that's still not... Yeah. Anyway, so this is actually fascinating because one of the biggest places where I've seen it has been in panels, because I've done a lot of book festivals, I've done a lot of library book tours and things, and 9 times out of 10, if you have one guy on the panel, he probably talks 90% of the time. and it's fascinating. He's like, not me, not me. And I have to say, the panels that I have been on at predominantly sci-fi and fantasy events have been the exception to that. I was actually on a panel earlier where we had a male moderator and 3 female authors, and he did such a good job of not sucking up all the air in the room, so that was really exciting. But a lot of times, it just seems like these male authors just go on and on and on, and they don't... When I'm sitting up here on a panel, I'm literally thinking the whole time, am I talking too much? Should I stop talking? And I don't think men are conditioned to think that way.
They're not. They're not. So I learned very early on in my career, working in graphic arts, there is no such thing as having a career track in any one business. It's you... To improve your career and move up the line, you have to keep getting new jobs. You know, there is no such thing as getting promoted within a company. It just, it's very rare and it doesn't happen much. So a big portion of my career was interviewing and getting through that interview process. And I learned that if I put my government first name on my resume, which is feminine, obviously feminine, I get called in for interviews a whole lot less than if I use my initials. And I put it to the test. I would submit the same resume with the two different names, and the one with the initials gets called in, and the one with the female name does not. And it was, I shouldn't have to do that, but that's the way that it is. And every interview is a fight because I have to win people over and fight that implicit bias, that the implicit cognitive bias that people have. Because even if you think consciously, gender does not matter in my hiring practices, there is an implicit bias there at work. And it doesn't matter if you're male, female, other, it's still, as the hiring person, it is still there. You are still going to think about that. And when I started working in terrestrial radio, the station that I started with, there were no women doing anything. And the station was advertising, we need women to start doing things. We want women on our board. We want women here. But they couldn't, they didn't know how to get it. And I could tell them very quickly why they didn't have women there once I started working with them. Because it was a fight every step of the way. And it's something that... There's the concept of privilege. And if you have the privilege, you don't see the struggle. And if you don't have the privilege, you see the struggle. And when you have the struggle, you're constantly made aware of it. And other people are like, I don't see it. What do you mean that's happening? And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with those people. That's the way society is working. And so when we fight and we work really hard to push these boundaries, we make it better for every person that follows us.
Yeah. So for me, I have two things that challenge me. One is that I'm a woman. The other is that I look between 10 and 20 years younger than I am. So when I walk in looking like a 17-year-old 20 years ago, it's like, yeah, you're a little girl, go in the corner. I'm looking for the guy who can fix my computer. Where's the guy who can fix my computer? Well, you called for a WordPerfect expert, right? And this was even the secretaries who were all women. So the challenges that I face in this world, which, yes, is predominantly male, but it's the challenges aren't just from the men. They're also mm-hmm. from the women for two reasons. One... was because, well, you're a girl, of course you don't know anything about computers. Or you don't know anything about science fiction. This is a bigger one. In 1995, I was working at AOL. AOL, because my boss, who was great, his name was John, saw how much I love science fiction and fantasy, he said, great, here are the message boards, go have fun, enjoy. And I came back the next week with, can I do this with it? And it was an entire world for genre fiction called Fictional Realms, which then turned into books on AOL. And it was a member award-winning site. But that took me 2 years, and he was all for it. But everybody knew me as L.A. Samuels. I could have been, and my nickname is Lee, L.I. So I played that I was a boy behind the screen mm-hmm. because girls don't know anything about science fiction and fantasy. Robert Jordan at Balticon told me to go away, little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Go away, little girl. At Shore Leave, most people wouldn't come to my panels, but the guy who played the doctor on Babylon 5.
Stephen Biggs.
Dr. Franklin, yes.
Dr. Franklin, the guy who played Dr. Franklin. As soon as he found out who I was, he was signing pictures and then going, and go get her autograph too. She's why science fiction is online. Go get her autograph. I mean, he was just shipping people down to me. But that's what it took for people to go, oh, maybe girls do know something about science fiction and fantasy. Maybe they do know a little bit about this business.
So, as a narrator, I started out writing for fun with a bunch of friends. And I started playing video games. And that's how I wound up meeting the members of the Secret World Chronicle novel podcast series. And I volunteered to read. That's really how. There's no glamour about it. They couldn't find a narrator. I was listening to the stories. And I said, when's the next one out? We lost our narrator. I'll help. 10 years later, I'm here. Volunteering is a good thing. But when I said, so, what about like an audiobook for this? They said, oh, well, women generally don't read in this particular genre.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think I've actually beaten Nathan Lowell's record for the most almost rams with the parsecs. I think I'm up to 10 or 11. Because other awesome people keep winning the parsec awards. But you know, this multi-cast. So there are between 50 and 60 different characters. I do the voices for all of them. And because of that, because it's a podcast, sure, I can narrate the podcast, but I don't think that's really what we need. You don't have the range to do this for, you know, more established authors in science fiction. I'm currently on the 6th book of A Space Marines series by Terry Mixon. Because what I found is in the indie realms, authors are a lot better about going, oh, let's try this. It doesn't have to be a guy's voice. There are guys in this, but if the voice, not the gender, if the voice fits the story, that's great. So overcoming what people expect to hear, girls shouldn't read space battles. The heck you say. I love reading space battles. The other big challenge that I got in academia, and that I sometimes get now, but not as much, is I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I have 3 kids. I adore those children. I've got to get them books before I leave. Mm-hmm. And they know exactly what books they, and the genres, and I need to find a graphic novel for the 11-year-old. Mm-hmm. But because I'm female and because I have children, people mm-hmm. automatically assume, oh, you must be so, but you're a mother, you're a wife, you've got all these things.
Who's yeah. watching your kids while you're here?
Mm. Yeah.
Anybody ask a male author or a male
no.
person?
No.
And or my husband's here. Well, he's not in here right now because he has a life of his own. What's he doing during panels?
What are you doing?
Stuff.
But if he's on a business trip, so who's watching the kids? Mm-hmm. Where's your wife?
Nope.
But luckily his answer would be, she's making funny noises into a microphone. The kids are not starving. They haven't gone feral. Why? Who's watching your kids? So, but it's that work-life balance, and that's something that as a woman in any business, entertainment mm-hmm. or otherwise,
yeah.
that we have to give the reason. Is everybody accounted for? Have you taken care of everybody else before you can pursue what you want to?
Yeah.
And that's not always something that is asked of our male counterparts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it extends to everything. Mm-hmm. Not just business. I mean, my husband's in the military and will often be gone for long stretches of time. And he gets questions of, Well, who's keeping an eye on your wife? Okay, she's my wife, not my child. And she's taking care of herself. She's fine. And to the point that the last time he went away on something, I got a phone call, and it was, hey, one of the guys that's with me, his wife's car battery is dead, and she has to get to work. Can you go give her a boost? Sure, no problem. On my way, going to take care of it. And everybody on that bus is like, wait, you called your wife to do that? Mm-hmm. What? And why is that a question?
Yeah.
Why is it, and especially when we get hired, and this is the big elephant in the room when people are getting interviewed for jobs, it's, well, if you hire a woman and she doesn't have kids, she's going to have kids, mm-hmm. and why invest in her if you're going to lose her for that? Or she has kids, she can't devote the time to the job. It's no different for men. Like, and it should, I don't understand why that's a huge thing. One of my personal beliefs is, and I live in Canada now, there is paternity and maternity leave. It's much like unemployment. Everybody pays into it. Everybody can collect from it. It's expected that when a child comes into this world, both parents take time off for it. So that becomes less of an issue. And I think that's something that might change perceptions, but it really bothers me that this is an issue.
Oh, well, funny story. My last job in the outside world, my last day job, was as a senior manager.
Jiminy Cricket.
My pregnancy was not the easiest, shall we say, nor was my recovery from my son's birth. In fact, I was told by my doctors I was not cleared for work. What they meant was I was not cleared to drive from my home down to downtown Washington, D.C., because they were afraid that I would have a dizzy spell on the road, and that would be a bad problem. I had a boss who was great. He got me reasonable accommodation. He made sure I could work from home. He had me working on projects that were all over the country. When he was taken off of that project and a woman was brought in, suddenly, oh, she's not doing her work because she's not here and I can't keep an eye on her. She's not doing her job. She's just at home playing with her kid. I had a nanny. I was locked in an office for 8 to 14 hours a day. I worked the day I had 103 fever from my bed for 14 hours. Never took a day off sick. Postal Service and I parted ways after a long battle with an attorney. Yeah.
There's a certain kind of language that often gets tossed around, especially talking about motherhood. Mothers take care of children. Dads babysit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
no,
wrong.
It's
their child.
You're right. That's how we view it as society, and it really makes me mad.
And this is why I love my husband, because he doesn't think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's his kid.
Mine here.
My brothers, I come from a family of nine children, and four of my brothers are all dads first of mm-hmm. anything. And when they hear somebody say babysit, they get pretty much as angry as I do, because it's like, I don't babysit my own kid. I take care of my kid. This is my priority. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, two of those brothers are the main parents for their children. You know, the mothers are not caregivers at all. And it's a constant struggle, because mm-hmm. when we say, you know, when we talk about feminism and we talk about things that women have to deal with, there is that effect on men as well, because then it's, well, you don't have to deal with that because you're the dad. No, you do, because it's your child. And I will try not to rant.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah. Saying you don't have to deal with that, is it can be a cop-out in a lot of ways, because then it lets them off the hook.
Exactly.
And they are not off the hook.
Uh-uh.
And I think several of us have touched on this, that, you know, things are not going to change until men are willing to step up. All the examples we've seen where it has worked out has become because there's been a man who has been willing to do it. Who has been willing to examine their own privilege as a man and work with us.
Yes.
And I think, you know, what Emma Watson is doing with the He for She campaign
is exactly
what this is talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best things, the best, I guess, partner, advocate that you can have, be it someone on your publishing team, someone on your creative team, someone in your family. If there's a guy there and they recognize and you have that heart to heart, it's like, look, this is what might happen. If you see these flags and if my voice isn't heard or I'm trying to advocate as much as I can and it's not happening, I need you to use that privilege to stop what's going on, direct attention back over here, and then please step back.
Yeah,
proper allyship
as a
reset.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, spouses and family, but you
it's
know
the bosses,
whoever is planning the book tour, whoever is, you know, helping to handle that track or set you up. Mm-hmm. If they're not aware of what's going on, I mean, moderating panel.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we asked John, because he can shut up.
I find that interesting, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more, and anybody, about the language that you would use to address when you see these kinds of inequalities in your specific industries, because that's something I struggle with. I work in
Jiminy Cricket,
and you're absolutely correct. Like, all of the sales reps and most of the marketing team are women, but then all of the men in the offices on the outside, all of the people in offices on the outside of the office are all men. Mm-hmm. And in my situation recently, I got a promotion after 6 months of jumping through hoops and hoops and hoops to get the promotion. On the other side of the coin, my colleague, who's a man, was promoted from sales rep to
Jiminy Cricket,
which is like leaping
that's
over
a
several
huge
steps.
Jump.
And I asked him, like, that's great. Like, how did that happen? He's like, oh,
Jiminy Cricket.
Who's the head?
Jiminy Cricket.
Just called me up one day and we had lunch and he offered me the job. I was just like, wow, like I went through all of these hoops to get where I wanted to be. And it just like was so, and not that he's not capable or didn't deserve the job, but just the discrepancy in how we had to get to where we wanted to be. So I'm just wondering, like, what language would you use, or like, how do you address these inequalities? Because I find I get like very flustered when I think about it or want to address it, or like there's a fear, like how I'm going to be perceived.
So you're talking about specifically in an office situation where there is basically the men are just here. Here's the key to the executive restroom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's the key to the executive restroom. Come on board. I think most of my experience has been in an office. Mm-hmm. I am also an army brat. I don't mince words, and I use foul language. And what I do is say stuff like, hey, excuse me, shut up. Mm-hmm. I was talking. Of course, I get called a bitch a lot, and I have been called that for a long time. And I was called that even when I was like, excuse me, please, sir. I think I was saying something. Do you mind? Or, wow, that's really kind of interesting that so-and-so got a promotion when they don't know how to code and I'm having to recode everything that they're doing. So why did they get the promotion and not me? So I started just basically going in, sitting down and saying, we need to talk. We need to have a discussion. Now, unfortunately, as some of my friends from college joke about, my resume is also 20 pages long because every time there was a layoff, it would be me. In part because I don't mince words, because I do stick up for myself. So you have to be willing to make that trade-off. You have to. You have to understand I might walk in there and walk out without a job. Example, I've worked at MTV. In this case, my female boss was the ally and the male boss was not. I worked at MTV. I got a call. My grandmother was dying of brain cancer. She wanted all of us there before she passed away. She wanted all of us there before she got to the point where she didn't know who we were. She wanted to say goodbye before. So we flew in from all over the country. I called my female boss. My male boss was on vacation. I called her and told her, she said, do you need a ride to the airport? Stay as long as you need. get one of the interns to temp. She'll get you all your messages in Nashville, no problem. I was gone a week. I came back, actually even less than a week. I worked from Nashville in 1994 on the phone with a pager all the time while I was there with my dying grandmother. I come back. I was out of a job in a week. The mail boss said, you need to make a choice between family and career. It needs to be a choice. You choose your family or you choose your career. I'm like, my dying grandmother. And he said, I don't care. I was gone. And so you have to understand that sticking up for yourself does not come without risk, but do it.
Yeah, if you can, because there is right. that privilege of, yeah. you know, sometimes, okay, I'll stick up for myself, but I'm living paycheck to paycheck and with some credit. If I lose my job, I'm not going to pay my rent.
Right.
And there, you should never feel guilty about not having the economic privilege to right. stand up for the other things. Because this is one thing that I feel needs to be discussed whenever we talk about things like, for instance, we're talking about women in the business. All women in the business experience things differently. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at us here visually. Yeah. We're all white passing women. We got it a lot better than a yeah. lot of other women out there.
Absolutely.
Some of us have educational privilege. Some of us have class and economic privilege. We've got this white passing privilege. I don't have thin privilege, but I got a lot of other privilege, you know, and that's something we need to remember. And I know some people get really upset when they hear privilege because they think it's like an insult. It's like, it's not an insult. It's understanding where you are. And I never want anyone to feel like they have to say something and put themselves in a situation of danger.
By golly G. Willikers.
Is that an example?
Yes. That's an absolute example.
So, as I said, I want to make sure everybody feels safe and does not beat themselves up over those things. And the language is very important. How do we use this language? Unfortunately, for women in business and anything, yeah. We can't speak to people the way that men can speak to people.
Case in point. Get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Case in point. Working
Jiminy Cricket.
That has no women there, in any positions of power at that moment. And I'm dealing with a situation where
Jiminy Cricket.
I am in charge.
Jiminy Cricket.
And during an
Jiminy Cricket
meeting, I'm there representing the
Jiminy Cricket.
And he's in my face with a finger in my face. I'm sitting down. He's standing over me. He's got a finger in my face, red in the face, completely angry. And I have to sit there in a calm voice and respond to him calmly. Whereas, different situation, same person, but with a guy, I've seen it turn into a, if you start doing that, you're going to start getting something physical, and they're able to resolve it without anyone being sanctioned or fired or whatever. But if I had tried to tell him that, you know, you're being physically threatening, which he was, or would you like to take this outside, I would suddenly be in the wrong,
yeah.
which is mm-hmm. wrong. I brought this
Jiminy Cricket.
And he got an official warning. And I can safely say, by the way, he's no longer there. But it took a lot more work, and that was not the incident. And there is a woman in his place, which makes me very happy. But that took 5 years.
Yeah.
If it were a woman, they'd be gone. Mm-hmm. And I know that to be true in my heart.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm bitter and see oppression everywhere. Unfortunately, a woman is a
burrito.
A man is a boss.
Yep.
A woman is shrill.
Shrill, yes. I hate that word.
A man is commanding.
Bossy.
If you don't show emotion, a woman is frigid. A man is in control of his emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone came in with a Nerf gun standing like he's in charge or something, and I turned to him and I said exactly as I said. If I were a dude, I'm pretty sure it would not have taken so long for him to leave.
Yeah.
Just a guess. And again, I could be 100% wrong, but in my experience, that's not
and
how it goes.
And he wouldn't have lied to you.
Mm.
Censorship is good.
But your original question was, how do we find these allies? How do we start the conversation? And I think a lot of that is water cooler discussions, feeling people out to know who you can trust.
One of the best things you can do is, and it seems cliched, but it does work, if not for advancement, but for survival, is find a woman at your place of employment who you admire. They don't have to be in that singular track.
Look for a mentor.
Yeah. Look for a mentor. They can share your interests. They don't have to have the same path. They don't have to share your background. But find someone whose qualities you admire and who's willing, you know, to have coffee, you know, have lunch, and sit and tell you about their experiences and with whom you're comfortable discussing and asking questions. I spent 15 years in academia. One of the big reasons I came into full-time audiobook narration was because the environment I was at, like you, I worked my tail off. I kept seeing programs I loved getting taken away. And I had a supervisor who went out to lunch with someone and got promoted, never had to interview. And I feel you, it's... You want to go beat somebody. But you need to find a mentor. I would recommend looking at stuff about body language. Because there are subtle things that you can do, especially as a woman, that will exude or fake. Confidence and control before you even open your mouth. And it's a owning the room thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you walk in there like you own the place, they'll have to think for 10 seconds before they go, does she? I'm not sure. And so it can be body language. It can be tone. I've been in so many meetings where I'm like, this is wrong. You're being emotional. I can be emotional. Would you like me to be emotional? The last straw, looking at the recording, I'm thinking, is it going to get out? I kind of don't care. One of the last straws that helped me make my decision to go full-time narrator was I pointed out something that was very wrong about a process that could have had massive implications due to academic honesty, things being lost, because part of my job was helping to proctor final exams at a university. And certain procedures were not being followed. Things were being lost. And I went to my supervisor and I said, "Are the person who's in charge of this, a guy, he's not tracking things. He's not listening. There's no ownership. He's not signing off on things." And my supervisor said, "Well, don't accuse him of stuff you don't see." And it was in that forceful tone. I'm like, I stood there and I blinked and I threw my hands up. Keep in mind, I had been in that job for 10 years, longer than my supervisor. And I had a reputation for documenting. That's another thing. Document everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Save, document, process everything, because she who documents wins. I don't care what business you're in.
That's how I won my lawsuit with the Postal Service.
If someone's planning your trips, you keep those itineraries.
Yes.
You go to the contracts, you make sure that you find your legal team that has your interests in mind. But especially in office situation, you document everything.
Document the good as well as
yes,
the bad.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's a good tangent to that. Learn how to sell yourself.
Yeah.
And you need to know your strengths. And every 6 months, sit down and document what you've done. Mm-hmm. Some people do like the yearly review every 6 months.
I'm neuroatypical. I have attention deficit disorder. And the way that I work is sometimes I will become hyper-focused on something. Often I have to listen to music or podcasts, which is how I got into podcasting, while I work in order to get things done. And in a specific office environment, the optics were that I was lazy and unproductive. I started documenting.
and would turn them into the supervisor and the office manager. And within a month, they told me, you need to stop giving us this stuff because we can't keep track of it. This is too much. Because I was doing the same put out as the three other people on my team. Because I work differently and I think differently, it appeared to other people that I was just goofing off, not realizing, yeah, all of this output she's creating is the same as three other people. So documenting that was very important. And when you have, you're dealing with something with sexism and you need to, you know, why did this guy get promoted jumping three steps when I'm the next step up or another person is the next step up? And someone says, well, you don't know what they do. Well, I can show you what I do. Mm-hmm. And when you go in and you need to discuss raises or promotions or any of those things, you have that information readily available. And when they tell you, stop recording all that stuff, don't stop. Mm-hmm. Keep that in your back drawer. Mm-hmm. Do you have...
Oh, I just wanted to, going back to your question, there are a couple of small-scale social justice concepts that I have found really useful to apply in these situations. And one of them is amplification, which is, well, a specific example is that some of the women who worked in the White House under President Obama used this. And basically, when they would be in a meeting with a whole bunch of men and a couple of women, and one of the women would make a point, and then something would just magically happen where the men would like pick it up and start and take credit for it. So what they would do is as soon as one woman said something, immediately one of the other women would speak up and say, Jessica makes a great point when she says blah, 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 blah. So they would immediately label the point and accredit it to her.
You make a really great point.
Yes. Well, you know, and that is an excellent tangent. Yeah. If you have someone who's moderating a panel and you want to make sure that everyone gets a say, especially more soft-spoken women,
That's a good one.
I'm hoping that.
But yeah, no, that's
okay.
You're doing great.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
It is.
And then the other one, and actually, you just gave a perfect example of the second point that I was going to make, which is microaffirmations. So there's been a lot of talk lately and on social media about microaggressions, and microaffirmations are basically the flip side of that, where it's. Basically, you are noticing and doing something to prevent microaggression. So it can be, you know, supporting someone from any marginalized group, whether it's another woman, a person of color, whatever. And it's basically doing things that disrupt the microaggression. So if there's somebody in the office who regularly is not included in the small talk or going out to lunch, going out of your way to include them, or even just going out of your way to make small talk with them. So things like that, we as women and male allies to women can do those things, and they will sort of disrupt people's assumptions. So if you know that, for example, you have a colleague who maybe looks like they're not accomplishing a lot, but you know they are, then you can say, wow, you got so much done this week, and bring that up and make other people aware of it, because it's not only giving that person a little burst of, somebody noticed, but also modeling to other people how to behave and what to notice and to not be jerks. So.
And yeah. would this also work in that theory? I've not heard of microaffirmations, and I am totally in love with this.
Isn't it a great concept?
It's something you can do. Of this stuff is just so overwhelming, but that's something small that anybody can
do. Yeah. You're in a meeting, and a woman makes a point, and a man goes, that woman made an excellent point. We should expand on that. And then maybe after the meeting, something along the lines of, thank you so much for your support. You're really awesome. And rewarding that good allyship and making sure that people realize that you do notice when they're doing the good allyship.
So in a way, basically what we can condense that to is find a friend and be a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well said.
Actually, I just want to say thank you for that term, micro...
Affirmations, yeah.
No, because... since I've gotten to know the members of my wife's family, it seems like there's been a real deficit in raising women to be confident in their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Where men are told, that's great, be bold, be aggressive. Women, you're told the opposite. Even
be pretty.
People don't realize we're doing that. It's like, okay, yes, you go be creative, do this. but leave this to that person. I once worked with a guy, and this was, 12 years ago in Virginia. And we got into an argument because he said, oh, yes, there are certain things that, you know, my daughter wouldn't be able to do. It's like, wait, you're going to raise her and tell her that, oh, you can have these jobs, but you can't have those?
Hi, that would be me.
Yeah, I was totally amazed by that.
Writing is a hobby, and if you get anywhere in business, you really should consider being a secretary, because secretaries make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, and he was specifically, you know, so this was 2003 to 2004, he was specifically, oh, yes, I'd never tell my daughter that she could be president of the United States.
Why the heck not?
That's what
exactly.
I couldn't understand, why he's saying that about his five-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
she's five. You have to be
35. Yeah, but she has 30 years to learn the confidence, and if you start saying it now...
I'm willing to believe that she has more common sense than our current president.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I just tell them, I have a 10-year-old niece, I don't have kids of my own, but I tell my niece, you know, I told her to be a bad
taco.
And she's doing it. Anybody who gets to meet her will understand.
I've only met her on Taco. But she's a strong young lady.
Yes. Yeah. Those who have seen the pictures of her as Wonder Woman, as Black Widow, as Batgirl, yes. Mm-hmm. Fear her.
I just have to say, yes, in our family, there are four girls under the age of 11. But my friends, they have a daughter. And I just have to say this because they saw a commercial for Wonder Woman. And their daughter asked, Daddy, why is everybody so worried about her? She's Wonder Woman. You know, because in the commercial, it's like, oh, be careful, Diana. Diana, don't do this. Oh, look after Diana. I was like, no, she's Wonder Woman. She gets it. It's like, she can take care of herself.
It's also set, I believe, during World War II.
World War One.
I would like to thank everybody for coming. We're not done yet. Can you do quick horror stories?
Oh,
one
God.
Each.
The ones you can safely share.
Yeah, so what I can safely share that's quick.
Huh. Oh, I don't care.
No, we need to make sure it's safely shared. Safe for us. I was working
for Jiminy Cricket.
For this one project where basically a bunch of consultants were sent to
Jiminy Cricket.
And we were all in a hotel together and collaborating. And I was made the senior
Jiminy Cricket.
Because I had been working for them for 5 years. And under me there were a few men ranging from a retired
Jiminy Cricket
down to fresh out of college. And everything in between. And they basically said, one, there's no way that she has all the experience that she says. Mm-hmm. There's no way. She's too young. And it was, she does not deserve this position. And she shouldn't be able to tell us what to do. By the way, this position came with no extra money. Just so you know. It was extra work and no extra money. And it was, yeah. And it got to the point that I had to whip out my license to show how old I am and that, yes, this is when I graduated university. And, yes, I did have experience with all of these different companies because I have been working with this company for these many years. And before they formed this company, I worked with the people that started this company and with these other educators. And do you need me to show you pictures of me with the writers of this software? I don't think so. And it was pretty bad. I'm now getting hired by
Jiminy Cricket.
She's bringing over as many of
Jiminy Cricket
as she possibly can. And we looked back and realized not a single one of the men are coming over because even the good ones were good until they weren't. And having to struggle and fight that, and no one should ever have to whip out their license to prove their age. And if I looked just as young and I were a man, it would not have happened. Mm-hmm. So these horror stories can happen. And that's a nice one that I can say.
You had a question?
Yeah.
I just thought that one thing that you brought up and another thing that you brought up are really essential when talking about terms of privilege. For one thing, that people of a certain group can contribute to the oppression.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And whether you're male, female, person of color. And also, privilege comes in not having to be verified, because when you just shared your story, yeah. I thought about how the president had to show his birth certificate.
Twice.
About how there's this woman who was so good competitive playing Overwatch that a bunch of the guys got together and had Sony check the code to make sure that she wasn't cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually ended up quitting because they were so frustrated because Sony discovered that she wasn't cheating. She was just much better than them.
Big shock.
And, I just thought it was really helpful to talk about how A, members of a group, because people use tokenism as...
Yeah.
And also how verification is another form of how...
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, I shouldn't have to, you know, we shouldn't have to verify all of these things. And, you know, we talk a lot about how can we navigate these things. We cannot, we cannot change the system, and we cannot feel that I can control how somebody's going to treat me, because it is their fault. It is not our fault. We did not speak the wrong way. We did not look the wrong way. We will not overcome this until the people who are the default, the ones with the privilege, start changing their behavior. We can't speak soft enough or nice enough to have them take us seriously and not call us shrill. It's their responsibility.
I swear I wasn't going to be political, but Elizabeth Warren has started to change how she speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now she speaks softly, very softly, when she's on anything, because she's been told she's shrill. You know what? I wish she would be shrill. I want her to scream into the wind. I do. But for me, you guys have basically heard the horror story, so let me tell you how it turned out and what happened there and what actually was very positive. Yes, I ended up having to...
Jiminy Cricket.
...for retirement. This is a lawsuit 99% of people do not win. It took me a year. My file landed on the...
Jiminy Cricket.
...desk, who, before the court case even happened, while I'm on the phone, she's reading through it. She's going, oh, no, they did not. Oh, no, they did not. Oh, you have... No. Oh, honey, do not worry. This is taken care of. Boom. I was retired. But it took courage, strength, and a really good support system with my husband to get there. And hopefully now that I am getting better, I'll be able to go back out and work again. But that's going to be even harder because now I'm over 45. And now I'm facing something else. I don't look it, but I am. So now I'm facing something else. That's going to be, well, you haven't worked in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not sure you've kept up on the technology. Well, I know it says you are a senior manager, but were you really? And that's what I'm going to be facing, and I know it.
Well, I know. I mean, I've learned a lot. I learned by not saying a word.
Well, I want to say something here. So this was a panel that Veronica and I came up with.
It wasn't?
Yeah. It's one of the four that we came up with.
Okay.
After the suits, sometime this spring when we were both
chatting.
Screaming into the wind. And I want to thank John very, very much for standing up and saying, yeah, I'll be the moderator, because we figured if we had a female moderator, we probably wouldn't be heard. Mm-hmm. So, John, thank you very, very much.
I'm just happy to be here. I consider myself the luckiest guy here. No, because I have the privilege of knowing... we haven't met, ma'am. I'm sorry. But I've known these three ladies here 4 years collectively, just... Probably what?
Decades. It's going on decades.
It's going on decades now.
Yeah.
And I consider it a privilege to know them. So, and I want to thank everybody for coming. Thank you for your questions. Do you have any last minute questions? You got 30 seconds.
Or if you have questions for when we're not on the microphone, that too.
Yes.
Yeah, if anybody wants to find me, you can take a sticker. My website's on there.
Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry. That's exactly what I want to do. Please, tell us where we can find you.
Oh, I'll be down in Artist Alley all day today and tomorrow.
Okay, and can we find you on the internet?
On the internet at KathyMcMillan.com.
There we go.
Nimlas.org. Just look for Lisa Ann Samuels. There's a lot of them, and they're all me, but there's a lot of different places. Lisa Ann Samuels with a hyphen and an E.
And the best place to find me is go to Google and find Voices by Veronica. I do many voices. They're all by me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jen, and this is Jason.
And you should be listening to the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. That was a promo.
Promo? You didn't even tell them they could find us on Facebook.
Where? You mean at facebook.com/nerdytome?
Yes, and what about their website?
TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com?
Yes, but you didn't tell them.
Oh, TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com?
Exactly. That would be a promo.
Luckily, I was recording.
Were you? Aww.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.